fellow travelers. Today's special guest is Noah Averback-Katz. You know him as Ren on Star Trek Discovery. He's now the writer and star of Type One, which has an active campaign on Kickstarter right now. Now come join me as we go traversing the stars. Hello, Mr. Averback-Katz. Thank you so much for coming to the Traversing the Stars podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Jeff. I'm happy to be there. And I appreciate being called and referred to as Mr. Averback-Katz. I don't get that very often, so it feels very special to me.
Well, I do my best to honor my very best guest.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
It's 100% my pleasure. So you played Ren on Star Trek Discovery, and it feels like you have learned a lot of lessons from Star Trek and they've really taken it to heart. And I know from having talked to you previously, you're a longtime Star Trek fan. So why do the lessons of Star Trek resonate with you so well?
You know, that's a great question. I think because Star Trek is really unique in terms of media because it focuses a lot on how to handle interpersonal relationships in I don't want to say mundane setting, but in a very relatable setting. You know, so many of the interpersonal conflicts on Star Trek are between two coworkers or two friends or people in a healthy relationship, just trying to work through something difficult. In my experience of being alive, which, you know, is not a great one, but it counts for something. That's where a lot of the struggles of being alive often come from. How do I solve this interpersonal conflict or challenge in a way that leaves both, me and the other person feeling better than when we came into it? Because so often, you know, solving those conflicts can lead to a strong relationship on the other side. And I just feel like that really relates to me and my experience and something I relate to both on a one-to-one level with other people, but also in a larger community. You know, how do you navigate being in a community of 10, 20, 100 people? How, you know, not everybody's going to agree on the best way to do things, but everybody, you know, if everybody has the same goal in mind, there is a way to get there. And sometimes you get it wrong, you know, and owning that is part of the situation as well. I don't know. So those are the things that kind of stick with me.
You know, I kind of feel like the new Star Trek, or they call it New Trek, does a great job of focusing on emotions and allowing characters to really discuss how they feel, how they think. And there's a lot of that interpersonal stuff, especially considering going back, where Next Generation was a little stiffer. Original series also a little stiffer in that area. I think the new Trek does a great job of really focusing on how we deal with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also think like a lot of the didactic issues of the 90s and late 60s, you just can't really explore them in the same way. It doesn't make sense, you know. Like, I don't really need to see which side is on, you know, the good and bad. I think you kind of know where you stand these days, and a lot of the focus I think has shifted off that and onto how to handle emotions in really heightened situations, which I think is something a lot of us have dealt with while we're alive.
Yeah, and I think the reason I bring that up is because you were ran on Star Trek Discovery, but more importantly, what you're doing now with your campaign on Kickstarter really, to me, exemplifies what Star Trek is. In other words, give the opportunities that you have, the abilities that you have, and do your best with them to help other people. And right now you have a Kickstarter campaign called Type One, which, as someone who's also a diabetic, means a lot to me. It's a big deal. What inspired the campaign for Type One, and why is the subject matter so important to you?
Well, you know, I've been a Type One diabetic for almost 20 years. And I've been getting more and more involved into the online diabetic community, and in particular, the insulin for all community, especially during the pandemic, when I watched a lot of people lose access to insulin, which is, you know, for somebody as privileged and as lucky who has never been insulin insecure, it still is. I'm not under any presumptions that I'm a accident or two away from being there. And so I feel real kinship with people who are all, who are insulin insecure. And I do my best to either provide insulin to people who ask me for it when I have excess, or send them to resources that might be able to help. So I don't know. I just feel very deeply about the issue. And, you know, one thing I've sort of seen interacting with the online community a little bit more is everybody brings something to the table, very much in like a Star Trek way. Everybody has their sort of area where they can help. And as opposed to trying to lift the burden onto your shoulders to do it all yourself and solve the problem all yourself, I actually think that what happens in these online spaces when they're working well is that everybody brings their level of expertise, or the places that they feel most comfortable, or, you know, just what they are comfortable doing. And so there are people who are so much better out there at understanding the complex structures of healthcare and explaining that to an idiot like me. There are people who are out there who can, you know, understand how legislature works and how to understand, you know, what's going on in the government, that these things are happening. And what I bring to the table is media representation, which when it comes to diabetes, and in particular type 1 diabetes, there isn't really, ow, my cat is biting me. He has to be now. You're fired from this interview. You're out. there isn't really an text for the community to bandy around, which isn't to say this will be sort of like the Uber video, you know, or Uber movie where everybody's like, this is it. This is the only one. I think of it as a place to start, you know, so people can use it as a bit of a lightning rod to say, you know, have you seen this with their friends? Or, you know, if everybody sort of gets together and watches it, or even if somebody is outside of a community, outside of the online community, they watch this and they realize, wait, you know, I want to be involved. This actually is inspiring something in me to want to get further involved in the diabetic insulin for all world. You know, that's sort of my hope for the film. And on top of it, I hope that it's sort of an entertaining and gripping and exciting story, you know, that it doesn't feel like, you know, so often in media, when particularly type one diabetes, which is what I'm most familiar with, is shown in media, it's really there to be explained to the non-type one audience. So it feels very pedantic and very, explanatory. Here's what this is. This is what this, so here's what the situation is. And I think even for a non-diabetic audience, that always feels a little bit like you're trying to, you know, you're trying to do an educational program, you know, even if it's in the middle of The Walking Dead. I'm not really interested in this aspect because it feels educational in a way that doesn't really fit, you know, zombies. And so my hope is that this, because I don't need to explain it to anybody. If somebody wants to watch it, they might bring their own understanding. If a type 1 diabetic watches it, they won't need it explained to them. And my hope is with that, people will feel seen, like they're not being talked down to, both if you're a diabetic who already knows this stuff, or if you're not a diabetic who finishes the movie and says, you know, I want to learn more about this. And you know where to turn afterwards too. I made the freaking movie. Come find me on Twitter. You know, I can help you out after that. So that's part of my hope with the film as well.
So I think as an English teacher, and I teach English all the time, things you know, that are very symbolic, allegorical, things of that nature. Why is art such a great ambassador for messaging?
Well, I think that art works in context, right? I don't think out of context this project would have as much meaning as it does, right? So it is in context with everything else that's going on. And I think that when you try to tackle a really, really big problem, or you're trying to convince other people to come on board to help you solve a really big problem, there is the important work of really figuring out how to actually solve the problem. Very challenging, can be very dry, can not be what a lot of people are interested in. and appealing to people on an emotional level or an intellectual level in a way that draws them closer is a really useful technique, a really useful thing that art is able to do. So, you know, with this project, at least, that's maybe the hope, is that you sort of draw people closer. And then suddenly, like, you feel like, oh, I'm involved in this issue now. I watch this movie, I'm invested and I'm involved. And, you know, now when I see insulin pricing pop up on Twitter or on the news or something, I'm invested in that story now because I saw it.
Mm. Now, I'm personally a type 2 diabetic. So at the moment, I'm not on insulin, though. The potential for me to be on insulin is a very real future concern. And it could very well happen because, you know, my numbers aren't always the best. But I, for that reason, though, I do follow what's going on in the world of insulin and the charge for insulin. As you mentioned in your Kickstarter campaign, 1 in 4 diabetics have to ration their insulin due to its rising cost. In fact, insulin, in a way compared to a lot of other medication, seems to be wildly overpriced compared to most other medication that people who have health issues need, in a way that's, you know, wildly in, you know, in balance with the cost of actually probably producing the insulin. Why do you think that imbalance exists between the people who need it as a life-saving drug and the fact that that's not being price controlled in any way, shape, or form, you know?
Greed.
Greed.
I mean, that's basically what it boils down to, is greed and desire for money. And the, you know, the also the fact that there are structures within our society that allow that to happen. So it is people holding other people hostage, holding their lives hostage to pay to stay alive. And there are structures in place that make that acceptable. So that's just sort of the world that we live in, and the country that we live in. If you're watching in the United States anyway. And, you know, it feels like, oh, well, you know, that's just the way things are. Or, well, of course, you have to pay for these medications. And I would just say, you know, when you watch the film, assuming that it's good and you make it to the end, I don't know, we haven't made it yet. Go to the Kickstarter and we can actually make it. You know, it's sort of... you watch somebody who is struggling to stay alive because they don't have access to this drug. And I would ask you, you know, if you were holding the drug that this person needed to stay alive and you were sort of with them on the journey and you were watching them slowly die, would you give them the drug or would you charge them money for it?
Mm.
You know, and I think if you say I would give them the drug, then you are on the side of restructuring society in a way that allows anybody who needs that to have the drug, because that is the situation that's going on. And if you are not on the side of giving the person the drug without charging them, you know, $300 for it, then what the fuck is wrong with you? Get it together.
No, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, one thing that's kind of interesting about your Kickstarter is that the story that you created has to do with a dystopian health, a dystopian future, but it kind of feels like we are living in a dystopian health crisis now. So, I mean, the allegory is very real.
You know, it's sort of, it's less, I wouldn't call it, I probably said in the Kickstarter video, but it, you know, it's not really dystopian. There's not really much else going on in the world. You're really just following these two people's journey, or hopefully once we make the movie. There is a very close allegory, but I tried to, you know, detach it from a real life event because I feel like it is so overwhelming to really consider for a diabetic or for a non-diabetic, you know, to consider the reality of type 1 diabetics, you know, insulin dependent diabetics in Ukraine or in other parts of the world where, you know, access to insulin is easily interrupted, or where there's not refrigeration, or in the United States during COVID, if you lost your job and lost your health insurance. There's just so many ways in which this could easily become a reality. that I've tried to just remove it a little bit to make it just a little bit more digestible, and also to, you know, decontextualize it so you can recontextualize it in any of these situations.
I mean, diabetes and insulin does seem to be a perfect argument for universal health insurance, which apparently it's, I don't know why that's debatable, but apparently it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 100%. And, you know, I think I thought about this quite a bit, especially early on when I was, you know, sort of working with the Star Trek community to raise funds for T1 International, which is sort of an organization that works in the United States and around the world to try and mobilize people when we're fighting for insulin for all and help different communities around the world. I really think that in the same way that everyone sort of brings their own skill set to the table, I think that's true in the diabetes community, and I think it also extends to the disability community, right? If the diabetic community can truly break ground on insulin for all, and not just insured copay caps, but that everyone who is, even if you're not insured, can get either, you know, preferably free, $35, whatever, we can figure that out. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so if we can do that, that will have ripples throughout the entire disability community, which is, of course, included in the healthcare for all community and that fight. So by trying to really focus in on this issue, my hope is that a win would have some real ramifications for the rest of the sort of larger community that diabetics are a small part of.
To me, it just seems like one of those things of just basic logic. If you can either give individuals who need it, with insured or not insured, this medication, the insulin, or you're going to be spending the money in the health needs of, you know, hospital, you know, attendance, things of that nature later on.
Sure. Well, and on top of that, you know, insulin is one of the biggest expenditures for Medicare and Medicaid because the United States government has to purchase it at those prices as well. So. Sure. It is not just, you know, if you're talking about monetary things, it's not just something that affects diabetics. It affects everyone. You're paying for it with your taxes as well.
So a type one, once again, is a film that you're making that has a Kickstarter campaign right now, in which you are not only the star, but you're also the writer behind it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're conceptualizing the writing of the story and for the film, obviously, this is something very personal to you. Was there ever a concern of exposing yourself in a very personal way that maybe was, you know, some discomfort there?
Oh, I'm totally exposed. At this point, when I'm out there, man, I was already utterly exposed. You know, I think the most exposing thing I did, I have a Twitch, and I put a live stream of my Dexcom, which is a continuous glucose monitor. So essentially, it's giving a live readout of my blood sugar while I'm live on stream. And I think for a lot of diabetics, that's an intense thing. You know, there's a lot of shame or even just discomfort about putting out there what your numbers are, especially when they're not in target. I'm sure you know that feeling of just like, oh, I really don't want to be telling people, you know, I'm high or that I'm low. But
yeah.
So once I put that out there, that really just sort of was very freeing, because often the flip side of that is sort of when you have to keep your numbers hidden. They can affect your mood, they can affect your focus. And so you're sort of having to hide that or you know, explain that away. And now that the numbers are out there, if I'm not focused and I'm, you know, 175, there's your excuse, you know? So once that was out there, it felt like, all right, this is all my stuff is on the sidewalk. Like, anybody can come see it. So let's just get this thing out here.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think as a type 2 diabetic myself, what I usually hear is, well, you did it to yourself.
Sure.
It's what I get all the time. Well, you know, that stuff shit on you that you should have, you know, it's like, well, not quite how it works, but, you know, I appreciate the empathy.
You know, and I hope, you know, I don't pretend to be an ambassador for type 2 diabetics. I'm just not familiar enough, and it's not what I deal with, but I do consider all diabetics to sort of be brothers in arms, both in destigmatizing diabetes for all different types, and also in the insulin for all fights. So as far as I'm concerned, we are on the same team.
I appreciate that. So is this your first attempt at writing a screenplay? And where did, and I mean, I know you do things like the D&D campaigns where you're a dungeon master. Is that where the writing experience comes from? Or were you already someone who did a lot of writing prior to this film?
This is the first real script I've written. I didn't have really much writing experience, which, you know, is probably not a vote of confidence for anybody who wants to go to the Kickstarter, but my wife liked it, so that's good enough for me.
Always is.
Yeah. And I don't know. I have read many, many scripts, which maybe is not the best reason to say you're able to write, but when you read enough, you can say, at least say to yourself, I know what is good and what is bad, or what I think is good and right. what is bad. Maybe not what is actually good or what's bad. And if I can write something I think is okay, then that's good enough.
So in the film, you play a character called Mika. Obviously, one of his major motivations is finding the insulin. What else motivates this character? What else tells the character beyond the insulin?
I don't think there's anything else, man. I think in this little snippet, he's just trying to stay alive. That is really the journey. You know, it's a short film. It's focused. It's really honed in. There's no subplots. There's an A plot trying to stay alive, and we'll see if he gets there or not.
So the other star in the film is Laura, a character of Laura, who's played by your wife, Mary Wiseman.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about the character of Laura?
Yeah, Laura, you know, it's this husband and wife couple, and Laura is sort of doing her best to shepherd somebody who is getting increasingly ill towards where she thinks this cache of insulin is. And she's feeling a lot of pressure because, you know, she is sort of leading the ship and hoping that this is going to work out, and, you know, is also understands the stakes of the situation as well. Yeah, you know, I think I'm trying to, you know, usually when you have like a disabled person in a movie, a lot of the time the abled person is the hero and picks them up and saves them and, you know, is the action hero. And in this, I'm trying to not necessarily flip it because she is a helper and an aide and somebody who is trying to save the other person, but who, is, you know, is like anyone who would be in this situation, somewhat out of their depth, and is not a Marvel superhero. They're just somebody who's trying to do the best for their partner who is, you know, suffering.
So obviously, like, as you say, it's Mika with diabetic, and because they're married, you would like to assume there's true love there. You know, I mean, I'm just gonna jump in and just assume that's there. But for the character of Laura, is in this, especially because it's a dystopian tale, is it difficult for her to balance her needs with Mika's?
I don't think so. I think she does not have a disability. She doesn't have to find insulin. She is there to aid, I think. And, you know, her needs are his needs because the time is running out.
So, and also the film is being directed by the amazing Anthony Rapp.
This is true.
Who's, you know, I'm a big fan of from Star Trek Discovery, and he's always welcome to come on the show, goddammit. So this is his first directing credit. How did he get involved on the film, and especially as the director of the film?
Sure. So Anthony directed, mentored under Jonathan Frakes, and directed a couple of scenes, I think it's season 4 of Discovery, maybe season 3, I honestly can't remember. And I think directed some with Mary, and Mary had a great time working with him. And, you know, when we were thinking about who to bring on as a director, it just seemed like the perfect fit. You know what I mean? I mean, it just really is the perfect fit. I love Anthony. He's so talented. He's such a great actor. He is such a great communicator. We have so much fun together. We play D&D together all the time. We think in the same way. He's so efficient and organized. And what I didn't really realize, I mean, I figured, oh, well, you know, he must like want to direct and be a film guy. You know, he's working on the show. He like went to film school. He's a total freaking film geek nerd. He started talking to me about lenses and I just glazed over. There's nobody home. I was like, oh, this is perfect. You know, I don't know anything about film. I don't know how to, I can barely arrange, you know, a living room to look nice, let alone movies. So I just couldn't be more excited for it.
So as Anthony Rapp, once again, is a friend of both you and your wife, from D&D, so true friends. Is it difficult at times to work with a good friend, especially when there's potential moments of conflict?
It can be challenging. But the reality is that on anything creative, where you have to bring your own creative sensibilities to the table, there will be disagreements. And it's easier to make your way through a conflict or disagreement with somebody that you care about and respect than somebody who you don't know and don't trust. So there will inevitably be moments where Anthony wants to do something and I don't think it's right, or, you know, Mary and him, whatever. But ultimately, it's better to have those with somebody who, you know, ultimately you say, you know what, I might be wrong in this. Let's go with what you think. So that I think that's probably a good thing.
And like I said, it sounds like such a wonderful project. Like I said, everyone, you know, fans of you, fans of Mary Wiseman, fans of Anthony Rapp. This is for those of people out there who like Star Trek. This is like a out of Star Trek reunion, somewhat, you know, that everyone, people that you love seeing on one show, get to find, you know, get to see them doing something totally different. It's doing really, really well on Kickstarter Type 1. Last I checked, is already passing $70,000. Which is huge, huge success. And not only that, but it's a credit to how much the fans like you guys, obviously, and care about the topic, I assume.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, in the same way that I'm trying to bring something to the table, I think the fans are bringing something to the table as well. You know, they've been really supportive fiscally, which is huge to make a film like that. And those who can't donate, you know, who don't have the funds at the moment, have been so great about sharing the project, and it makes a huge difference, you know, to get it out there. And I've just been so appreciative of everybody who's donated, and, you know, outside of just us working on the movie, the entire Discovery cast and crew has really showed up, both sharing it on Kickstarter and donating. So they, you know, they really put their weight behind it as well, and supported us, which felt amazing. And yeah, I don't know. I think that in my mind, this is a community built project, right? It's not people donating to me or to Anthony and Mary, and we're going to go off and kind of make our movie and whatever. It's something that we are all making together. And even if your contribution is a couple of bucks, you still have a stake in it. And as far as I'm concerned, I consider you a collaborator on it. Because it wouldn't get made without everybody's help, regardless of what way you are able to help.
And like I said, I must say, I for one was very honored to pledge. So it was very very important project. Thank you so much. And like I said, this was your first Kickstarter campaign.
Yes.
So what was like? What do you think the absolute key to the success and getting people's eyes on the project?
I just think it's the community, you know? I just think that I've done my best to participate in a positive way in the Star Trek community and the diabetes community. And those two communities have showed up for me in return. And I really appreciate it. I think that's the key to the success, is just how wonderful and supportive the D&D, the Star Trek, the Type 1, Anthony, Mary, my community have all been. That's really the key to the success.
Well, to give you an opportunity to do the hard pitch, let's talk about rewards and stretch goals. Can you go over a little bit what some of your favorite rewards are?
Sure. What are my favorite rewards? So my first favorite reward is it's an insulin or die sticker with this cool skull, which I actually purchased one of these as a fundraiser for a podcast, a type 1 diabetes podcast that I really like called Beta Cell. And this artist was making them, and part of the proceeds were going to Beta Cell, or the Beta Cell Foundation, I think. And I had it in my desk drawer for like a year. And I was making all the rewards, and I was like, they're all Star Trek rewards. I don't have any diabetes rewards. So I reached out to this woman, Megan, who made the sticker, and I sort of told her what the Kickstarter was and asked her if I could buy a batch, and she was just so excited to participate. And I've since talked to the guy who works on Beta Cell, so like we've connected there, so that's been really great. I was talking about, you know, asking people what kind of Kickstarter rewards they wanted, and of course pins came up, and somebody on Facebook, a Star Trek fan who had been following me, reached out and said, you know, I have this pin company, we're this queer disabled pin makers. And I was just like, well, we have to work with you to make a cool pin, you know, because you could go out there. I had an image that was made by a fan, and I asked him if I could use it. A friend, Frag, who made it. And I was like, well, I could go through whatever, like Big House, and they'll make some crummy little pin. But I was just so excited to get to work with, you know, Star Trek fans, and make that together. And then we have a bunch of cameos and videos from me. We have a bunch of stuff which is sold out, which is all gone. We have signed scripts. We have really funny signed photos of me and Mary. And then maybe one of the coup de grace is that I will run a D&D one shot for you and a group of your friends.
Very cool.
So that will be, I've got about 12 of those lined up. So I really have to start thinking about what everybody's going to do for those. But I think that would be, those are going to be a lot of fun and a great way to just have a great time with a group of friends. And, you know, if you have a D&D party, everybody can throw down a little and we can do a party one shot.
That is absolutely awesome. So, well, obviously the video is going to be the best way is an advertisement, but it's going to be a lesson about the importance of diabetes and insulin. In the end, from those who watch the video, what would you like them to do with the information that they learn?
Sure. Well, we are working on partnering with a type 1 charity. Working on it. My hope is that they'll finish the movie, they'll feel some sort of way, they'll look at some of the credits, and by the time that they have processed and they are, you know, waiting the credits, the card will pop up and say, hey, you know, if you want to get more involved, here's how you do it. So my hope is that there will be a very clear option. We just have to hammer out some of the stuff before I can say anything about it.
Listen, I'm not sure if you know the answer to this question or not, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Once it's completed, where would listeners be able to find it?
Well, if you want to see it right away, your best bet is to donate to the Kickstarter and get the digital screener reward. Because once we have finished the movie, we'll send those out and get those to you right away. After that, after we finish, it will kind of go out to festivals. And then sometime after the festival, just depending on what happens, it may come out. I don't know. Honestly, it's a bit unclear to me, somebody who's never done this before. So I have no idea. I have no idea. If you really want to see it within probably the next year, you should back for a digital screener so we can get that to you early.
Very cool. And I hope our listeners follow the Kickstarter. When does it end? Today's the 11th.
I think maybe there's like 11 or 12 days left as of today. I think it maybe ends on the 21st, possibly. Soonish.
So we'll release as soon as possible to give the listeners as much time as possible to donate to the Type 1 film. So what are you working on next after this? Or this is everything?
Oh my God, this is taking up every iota of energy I have right now. And we're planning to shoot this in May. So we have our foot slammed on the gas trying to drive through May. And then once we finish shooting it, while post-production is going on, I got to redeem all, 500 rewards. So I basically just gave myself a job after this. So that's what I'm doing for the foreseeable future.
So from the point of this campaign finishing to the point where filming may end, when are we looking, you think there will be the end point for the filming to end and release?
May finish shooting, post-production hopefully done by July. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. My producers are probably tearing their hair out. Digital screeners release probably sometime after September and maybe before January. And then maybe a full release post January 2023. But again, That I could have just absolutely lied. So don't hold me to that. That could be a total lie.
Well, Mr. Everback asks, it was a great honor to talk with you. I hope our listeners pledge whatever they can to the film Type One. I think it's an important one, not just personally, but I think just for anyone else who just cares about other people. It's an important film for them. And I want to thank you a lot for talking to me a second time. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thank you.